Johnson will conduct your hearing.
Are you here from Marino?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a list.
Okay. So, sir, could you just state your name, your ADC number for us for the record, please?
This is from Moreno, ADC number 21-8842.
Okay, Mr. Moreno, you appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the members who will be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Luis. To my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Next to her is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle, sir, is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today. And to my left is the Honorable David Neal, sir. Also with us, sir, representing the Department of Corrections as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Oliveri, sir. Mr. Moreno, prior to your hearing today, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today, sir. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, on that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Sir, did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I represent myself, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Moreno. You do have some supporters here in the audience that are going to speak. Is everyone going to speak on his behalf?
We can.
Okay. So who wants to speak?
I'm Ms. Mom.
Okay. And I'm sorry, because we usually get a seat, so we don't know. Okay, what's your name?
Francis Romero.
Okay, anyone else wish to speak? Okay. All right, so at this time, Mr. Moreno, I want to swear you in along with the parole officer, Mr. Oliveri. And I'm also going to swear your mom is here, Mrs. Romero. She's here, and she's going to be speaking before the board. So I'd like to swear all three of you in at this time. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Mr. Moreno?
I do.
Okay. Ms. Romero?
I do.
And who else? Were you speaking to?
No.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Oliveri?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Moreno, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases, sir. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have two allegations listed on your warrant, Mr. Moreno. I'm going to read those allegations out to you. When I read those allegations to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, Mr. Moreno, the first allegation on your warrant states that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of cocaine on June 27, 2017, per the task lab report dated June 28, 2017. Sir, is that true or false? Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, your next allegation on your warrant states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about July 5th, 2017, as written directed on July 3rd, 2017. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true, Your Honor. I didn't make it to the place, but I did talk to him out there.
Okay. So we'll go and get into phase two. We'll give you an opportunity to further discuss that, okay?
Okay.
All right. So based on the admission of Mr. Moreno, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent. He did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, so we're going to go into phase two in the hearing. During phase two, the board would make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some information from the parole officer, Mr. Oliveri. Then we're going to come back to you and get any information that you'd like to present to the board. Then we're going to go to your mother, Ms. Romero, and get any information that she'd like to present before the board, okay? All right, Mr. Oliveri.
Yes, sir.
Offender Moreno was released from the Department of Corrections on May 23rd of 2017. He was arrested on September 3rd of 2017 by Tucson PD on absconder warrant only, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 60 days abscond. His projected supervision end date will be on June 22nd of 2018. Current conviction, 2014, promoting prison contraband, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2006, theft, 6 months. 2009, two counts, aggravated robbery, receiving 6 years and 6 months for each count. 2008, theft of means of transportation, 6 years, 6 months. 2008, flight from law enforcement vehicle, 2 years, 3 months. And also in 2008, two counts, criminal damage, receiving 2 years and 3 months for each count. The offender has two terms with ADC. CU and IR scores are a 4-4. His mental health score is a 2, and his substance abuse score is a 2. STG gang information, he is a suspect with the New Mexican Mafia. One prior term of supervision. In 2007, TIS release completion, 3 months. He has a moderate disciplinary history with drugs noted. Other arrest in 2002, narcotic drug violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2003, marijuana violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2004, simple assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona juvenile detention. And also in 2005, flight from law enforcement vehicle, Arizona juvenile detention. His community risk level is a G8B9.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Oliveira. Okay, Mr. Moreno, I see that when you were released, you were approved to stay with your mother, Ms. Romero, at 2755 West Acklam Road in Tucson. And then it says that were you working, sir? They didn't have any work on it for you. So did you verify that you were doing any work, or were you working during that period of time?
Yes, I have a letter from my boss. As a matter of fact, too.
Okay, where are you working at, sir?
At Diage Bros Incorporated.
Who was it?
Diage Bros.
And what were you doing there?
I was working in a warehouse doing recouping and packaging.
Okay. So, sir, it says that you were assigned a task color Navy. You were directed to call daily, Monday through Friday, to submit to UA. If your color was called, says that they gave you the instructions on what to do. Then on June 9th, they didn't collect a sample. You didn't submit a sample on June 9th. And then on June 27th, you submitted a sample that tested positive for cocaine and THC. And then on June 14th, you referred to the CAP MRT classes and you failed to report to any of your scheduled classes, sir. It says that you had some sanctions because of your violation on June 9th. You failed to do the UA on the June 27th. You were positive for cocaine and THC, marijuana. And then on June 28th, you self-admitted to marijuana use and showed paperwork for a medical marijuana card, which you stated you will have your physical card brought in soon. And then on July 5th, you didn't report in as directed. What happened, Mr. Moreno? It seems that you were staying with your mom. How long did you stay with your mom?
The whole time.
You was with your mom the whole time?
I got arrested in September. They picked me up at my mom's house.
Okay. So what happened? Did you relapse? What happened with the marijuana and the cocaine, sir?
With the marijuana, my parole officer told me I would be able to smoke if I got my card. I did get my card. The cocaine, I went somewhere with this girl somewhere and go to the party or whatever. There was a joint, I picked it up, I did it. It was a cocaine. I didn't know until I did, but either way, I did, and that's why I came 130 for cocaine. When we came back, as a matter of fact, that was June 28th or something, when I dropped her. But then he left the thing at my house saying he wanted to see me in July, on July 5th or something. We had that to family up to a batch day for the 4th of July. I didn't come back till a little bit after the 5th. I called Mr. Duffy, I don't know how many times, to try to get a hold of him because I seen the paper and all that. He wouldn't answer. Finally, I just showed up at the parole office. I just went in and showed up, and then he showed me the warrant that they made out for my arrest, where I telling me that I dropped 30, and then the warrant for my arrest and everything. Since I showed up, he had told me not to worry about it, to go drop for him again. I did. Told me to come back again on the 28th, July 28th, for my initial checking date, because my checking date was every 28th. So I came in again the 28th. I ran into one of the other parole officers there. I was trying to get a job. I didn't get my job until about a week after that. But I was trying to get a job. That's when I seen the MRT people from my classes. Was in July and all that. So he told me not to worry about the warrant, not to worry about none of that, not to have no police contact. I said, fine. I dropped from again. My drops came up clean. That's why I was trying to get my task records. I wrote a letter to you guys saying I'm still trying to get my task records, trying to get my my records from the parole office too, to show, because my paperwork here is also saying that he's never seen me in July or nothing, and I seen him twice in July, you know. So that's when seeing him, told me not to worry about it, the warrant or nothing like that, that it was squashed and everything, that he was going to talk to Judge Guillen. The judge is right there in their parole office. So I figured everything was okay. I got this warrant, was squashed, everything. About a week later, I got my job. Miss Sherry, or Cheryl, I think it is, the lady that runs the MRT classes, I gave her a call because I was supposed to, I had a meeting on the Tuesday. She does that Tuesday and Thursdays. And I called her, let her know that I had the job. I got a job and everything, I wouldn't be able to make it. And she was like, that's fine. Don't worry, the next time you come check in, we'll figure it all out so that way you can work around your job and everything. I said, fine. And then that was it. So I figured everything was okay. I thought I didn't even have a warrant for my arrest no more or nothing. The night that I got arrested, we were involved in a hit and run. As a matter of fact, my bro was driving. Someone had hit the car, left. We called in to make a report. Me and my girl, we called the police department to make a report, let them know. I stayed around, you know, I gave them my name, made a statement and everything. So, you know, I was never trying to look scout or nothing. I was trying hard to actually do good and do the right things, you know. So, he followed us back to the house. The police department followed us back to the house, everything. Came back about 2 hours later. I was asleep. I had work in the morning. The office woke me up, asking me to come down so that way you can take more pictures of the car and everything. They wanted to ask me a couple more questions. As soon as I came down, they asked me to put my hands behind my. As soon as I came out of the house, he told me to put my hands behind the back. I was under arrest.
Okay. So, Mr. Moreno, it says there's a tax report in here. It says on July. June 27th that you tested positive for cocaine, sir. And are you saying that you had another test after June 27th?
Yes. I've been tested in July. I think it was twice.
Okay, so we don't have any record indicating that. I'm going to go to Mr. Oliveri and see if he has anything on there that says that after this June 27th that he... While he's looking at that, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Oliveri. I'm sorry.
He did submit a urine sample on July 28th of 17, which did come back positive for THC.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
May I have a follow-up question with Mr. Oliveri?
Yes.
Mr. Alvarado, real quick, unless it was covered, I think he also made reference to trying to make some phone calls to his community corrections officer.
Yes.
Was there anything in the phone notes about that?
No notes about any phone calls that were made, and no notes that the offender ever came in July.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. So, Mr. Moreno, so it does show, according to the parole officer, Mr. Oliveri, that you took a test on July 28th that came back positive for THC for marijuana, sir. I think that, you know, although you have a marijuana card, you may have a marijuana card, but until you can get the permission and authority from your PO, that, and Mr. Oliveri, you can help correct me if I'm explaining this wrong, but that you have to be approved before you can start using marijuana, sir.
I did have permission from Mr. Duffy. As a matter of fact, he's the one that told me where to go for my card and stuff like that. Like he's the one that told me that, as long as you have your card and everything. He did give me permission for that.
Okay, so Mr. Oliveri?
The only note referencing the medical marijuana was an entry made on June 28th, 2017 by CCO Robert Duffy. Offender self-admitted to THC use and showed paperwork for a medical marijuana card. He states that he will have his physical card brought in soon. And the process is once an offender brings in a medical marijuana card, photographs are taken and that information is forwarded to our upper administration. There's a verification process. Once it's been verified that he is a patient, a note is made, and the offender's task referral is modified to remove THC once they are approved to use medical marijuana.
Okay. So, Mr. Moreno, it appears that you did talk to him on the 28th. You did, and it says in here you did inform him that you were going to get a marijuana card. You had to show them your paperwork. However, you never took the card in, and they took the picture in order for them to forward it to the administration in order to get approval before you authorized to use marijuana, sir. What I'm going to do, Mr. Moreno, at this time is see if the board has any additional questions. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Moreno, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
I'm going to ask a kind of a hard question, and it's not personal, but the allegations on this warrant are for the, you know, ultimately there's a positive urinalysis that includes cocaine. You're missing from community supervision for 60 days. And then you have a pretty lengthy history to include prison contraband theft, aggravated robbery, auto theft, flight from law enforcement, criminal damage, narcotics, and misconduct involving weapons. Why do you think this board should safely, or why do you think this board can safely transition you back to community supervision?
That is a very good question. You know, Your Honor, I mean, I'm not gonna lie about none of that. You know, growing up as a kid, I have been in a lot of trouble. Even as an adult, I've done a lot of bad things. You know, I have changed my life so much from that, you know. There's even in here, you know, I've worked on it in here, you know, I was a member of the Mexican Monk, you know, I've renounced from all that. I've changed my life before I came home. I went into IHP. I did all that integrated housing just because I want to change my life. You know, I don't want this no more in my life. This is not what I want, you know. I don't want to hurt my mom no more, you know? I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to be a menace to society no more. That is not the person I am. The person I am is a good person. I got to be a part. You know, I love people. I don't like to hurt people. I don't like to do things like that, you know? As a child, as a kid, growing up, I've been through a lot of things, you know? And I guess getting in trouble and stuff and doing those things was a way that I used it to get the things that I was going through out of my mind, or some money, or the drug use and all that was a freedom to me or something that I didn't have, that feels an escape, feels an escape route. But that's not what it is for me in my own life. It's not, I mean, my family knows, I mean, for you guys, it's a little harder for me to show the proof to it, because you guys ain't there when I'm out there trying to do good. When I came home, I tried my hardest. It took me almost 2 months to get a job. When I was out there struggling, riding hard, you know, I put in applications everywhere. Old friends were coming to me trying to get me back to go to the Philippines. I was just pushing them all to the side, everything. You know, I didn't want to, it's not my life anymore. It's not what I want. You know, and right now, my girl that I have, she's great. I mean, this is my first child that I have. You know, I don't want to miss that. I need to be there for her, you know what I mean? And what kind of man? I mean, my father that me as a kid wasn't ever there for me. I don't want to be that type of father. That's not who I am. I'm trying everything I can. I'm getting my life to God. I'm giving up all the kings. I'm giving up all the politics. All of that. You know, the drugs, whatever, the THC too. I'll give up all of that. That's no problem. I don't even want the THC part. None of that. It's nothing. I know that it's off the subject a little bit, but that's not my life anymore. And it's not.
Mr. Moreno, I want to thank you for your response, because I have to tell you, when I asked that question, I didn't expect really such a mature response. And in my opinion, and it is my opinion, people tend to start really growing up in their late 20s. And I do appreciate what you're saying. We've got to make some hard decisions today. But I appreciate what you said. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Moreno, why is it that you feel you need to use marijuana? You need to get a marijuana card. So why is it that you feel like that?
For me, it's been a lot of my past. It's been things I've been through a lot in my life. You know, for the PhD and my back problems with car accidents and stuff. But I don't think I need that. So this is something that for me was an easy way to deal to get high. You know what I mean? When Dustin told me about me being able to get a car and being able to smoke or whatever, for me it was an easy way. I can smoke, you know, I can get high. But you know, now I'm realizing too, you know, things just like, why? Well, what is it good for? What is it good for me anyways? But if it does it, it's just, it's no good for me. That's why I'm willing to even get rid of that everything. I don't want nothing to do with it. You know, I got a child on the way. This is my first child. It's such a blessing to me. God is a blessing. I don't want my child being around none of that. You know, I've never understood that type of stuff until I'm in the position that I'm in now. You know, my mom's been telling me this all my life. What do you know the drugs for? What do you know there for? And it's been always there. I mean, my mom used to call the cops. I mean, you know what I mean? When I was doing that, she will not stick up for me, you know? I know that for a fact. Especially if I'm doing wrong, if I am doing wrong, she'll tell it straight out like it is. She always has, but I never understood that until now. You know, I got a child on the way. What she was always trying to do was protect me, you know? She needs to do what wrong to do right, you know? But I don't understand that.
Okay.
You know, I don't want my kid to be doing that either.
Okay, Mr. Moreno, we're going to hear from your mother, Mr. Romero, at this time. So, Mr. Romero, if you would come up to the mic and just please state your full name and provide the board with any information that you'd like to provide the board with.
Hi, this is Romero. I'm 24.
And go ahead, provide the board with any information you'd like to present.
I just, first of all, I'm so proud of him. First of all, for being honest, I drilled it in his head how he had to grow up someday. And I've been so proud of him. Just the last, starting middle of July, I see the change coming. We've seen him working harder every day, going out there, putting applications. He'd walk in some places and he said, Mom, they just look at me and they would just right off the bat say, you're not our kind. But he didn't give up. kept doing everything he could. Being there for his little brother, for his brother's graduation, something that he didn't get to actually graduate, but he was there. He wanted to make sure he was there for his brother. And his little brother's been just an awesome, awesome kid. And it's because of Christopher telling him, don't do what I've done all my life. All our life we taught him. All our life we've been there for him, telling him how much we love him, how what a great person he is. For whatever reason, just couldn't get his mind to understand, make the connection, you know? And I feel, like I said, starting July, I've seen the change. And a lot of it had to do with the girl that he's met. She's a good girl. Didn't have it either. He's got someone that's positive in his life, making changes. Started working, and his boss wrote an absolutely wonderful letter. Just, I guess he'd only been there a couple of weeks, and they were so impressed at what a hard worker he was, how he was willing to learn and work wherever he was needed. And like I said, just in the last couple of weeks before he was there, when he was still home, we've seen the change. We've seen him stay home. We've seen him not going out. We've seen him just excited about work, about life. And he didn't have that before. And like I said, I do have a letter that I'd like to read from the boss if I can.
Okay.
It's Bianchi Brothers. His boss's name is Jose Lopez.
Can you tell me the date on the letter, please?
October 3rd. He just wrote it for us, October 3rd.
Okay.
And he said, to whom it may concern, Chris Moreno worked for Bianchi Brothers through the Express Staffing Agency here in Tucson. During the time he worked here, he is diligent, reliable, respectable employee. He moved up in the ladder in our recruiting department quickly and one of the most dependable and capable workers utilized throughout the warehouse. If you have any questions, please be glad you can give me a call. I've talked to Mr. Lopez, and he told me as soon as Chris got home, just to send him back, he would hire him in a heartbeat because he made such an impression on him. And that's Christopher. He will give you 100%. And like I said, I now see that he's making the connection that we have drilled in him his whole life. He's a great kid. He just needed to know to make the connections. And it looks like he's slightly maturing. And I appreciate you guys just listening.
Okay. Mr. Ronald, did he live with you the entire time
yes.
that he was out?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Does the board have any additional questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. Ronald. Okay, Mr. Moreno, the board's going to be going in to discuss in shortly, sir. This is your hearing. I want to give you the opportunity. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the board before we go into discussion, sir?
No, I did drop dirty. I still got something that shouldn't have been done. You know, whether it was normally or lonely with the cocaine or whatever, I understand if you make a mistake. You know, I never tried to learn from it. If anything, I went in to try to fix it. I did make contact with Duffy in July twice and everything. I never tried to scout. That was never my intentions, never at all. Like I said, I've been trying to change my life, but all that other stuff is not, it's not as comical as it is for me no more. So I would just like to know that. Know that I do have my first job on the way. I am trying my hardest to change and be there. And I'm willing to give anything up. I'm willing to do anything for a second chance. And just, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, Mr. Moreno, I am going to, the board is now going to go into discussion, Mr. Moreno. I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone. I were to remain silent while the board's in discussion. So it may appear as though we're talking to you, but we're only going to be talking amongst ourselves. When we conclude our discussion, we'll get back with you, sir, with a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir. The board is now in discussion, had the opportunity to review the file and speak with Mr. Moreno. I do think that Mr. Moreno has been honest with us as he's talking about
his future, what he plans on doing, where he plans on going. His mom read the letter that, and according to Mr. Moreno, he says that his mother, Ms. Romero, is definitely not the type lady that's going to support him doing anything doing wrong. And that's threatened him that if she catches him doing wrong, she's going to call the police herself. And he has stayed with his mother the entire time that he was out on parole, so he didn't change his address or move to another location. He does have the problem with the 60 days of being an absconder. There's some discussion that he says he contacted his parole officer in July, but evidently he didn't make contact with his parole officer or have contact with him, or else there would have been some notes in the chronicles that we have. And that Mr. Oliveri stated that there was no notes in there. But he does sound as though, when he responded to the questions from Mr. Quinones, that he has, I don't want to say seen the light, but that he has decided to make a change in his life and do things differently and give up the drugs. He says that while he was in prison, he denounced, you know, his affiliation with the gangs and the negative activity that he was actually doing while he was incarcerated. He does have an extensive record, which includes promoting prison contraband and a lot of violent crimes, as well as weapons charges that he actually has had. But I think that after listening to Mr. Moreno and talking with his mom, Ms. Romero, that Mr. Moreno is just recently, as his mom has said, started in July, see a transformation or a change coming over him where he's trying to do the right thing. So Mr. Moreno has a date of June 22nd of 2018 before he would actually be turned out. So I think that he has some time still left on there, that with the assistance of his family and the assistance of the parole officer, that Mr. Moreno could be a positive citizen out there and be a productive citizen out there if he follows through on his state of mind that he is currently displaying at this time. Therefore, I would be supportive of continuing Mr. Moreno on community supervision. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Johnson, I would also note, I'm generally in agreement with you, I would also note that Mr. Moreno is participating in the integrated housing program, which is kind of a revolutionary thing the department's doing, and it takes a little bit of courage on the part of the participants to do that. It's kind of unusual in a prison population, especially for a former or renounced possibly participant in a gang. He also has one truth and sentencing completion that was successful, so that would definitely work in his favor. And he himself has said that although marijuana, his words, was an easy way to get high, he's also said, also his words, he doesn't really need it. So I think that shows, just all of his discussion today shows some maturity, and I agree with you, and his mother said that she saw a change starting to happen. I think there's a maturing process going on here, so I would be supportive of your position.
Mr. Quinones.
I recognize that, and it's the reason why I brought up the question, that we're dealing with an individual that has a, doesn't have the best history, and maybe just turning the corner at this stage in his life right now. But I gotta tell you, I would not be as open to returning him to community supervision if he did not give such a compelling response. And it was, I will say again, it was not a response I expected. So I'm open to giving him a chance. And I recognize, I want to say this for the record, there's probably some people that wouldn't agree with it. But there are some circumstances in which encouragement and a second chance can make all the difference. So I'm open.
Okay. All right, then if there's no more questions coming from the board, I am going to make a motion to continue Mr. Moreno on his community supervision with the same conditions that he has, along with some other amended conditions.
And those amended conditions would be that his placement would be at his parole officer's discretion. I'm going to say that he must enter and successfully complete treatment program that treatment program. I'm going to mark this, but I'm going to also mark it that the treatment program would be at the parole officer's discretion. And then I'm going to also mark that the parole officer to start revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, unexcused UA. Is there anything else that the board would like to see? That would be my motion at this time.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Moreno, the board has voted to reinstate you on your community supervision, so we added some additional stipulation there that your placement would be at your parole officer's discretion, that you must successfully enter and complete treatment program at your parole officer's discretion, and that the parole officer's to start revocation, sir. You listen to this very quick, easily, because this happens. Parole officer to start revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, or unsuitable for testing, unexcused UA, sir. So that means that you have to make and take all your UAs, that if you test positive for anything, then your parole officer has the discretion of violating you, and then you're going to be right back here before this board, sir. And I hope that's something that don't happen. Are you able to live with those conditions, sir?
Yes, I am. One question. What is the first one
you were
telling me,
the first condition? The first one is that where you stay is going to be at the place, your placement is going to be at your parole officer's discretion. So that means that you may stay with your mom, or he could put you into a program.
Okay,
but the parole officer will make that decision after. Well, you can discuss that with your parole officer, and they will work with you on that, sir, okay? So are you able to live with those conditions?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Moreno, I want to thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you for your participation. Please put the CO3 on the phone. Ms. Moreno and your family, I want to, Ms. Romero and your family, I do want to thank you for coming down and taking the time to participate in the hearing today. That's going to conclude the hearing today. If you want, you may be able to talk to Mr. Oliveri. He can give you more information on the time span and what has to occur before he's actually released. Okay, Mr. Moreno, that's going to conclude your hearing. Please put your CO3 on the phone, sir.
Good luck.
Thank you.